We've been going through a series in the Bible on invitations in the Bible, and they all start with the word come. And today we're going to be looking at Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 through 2. Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And the message this morning is come and return to the Lord. Come and return to the Lord. But before we open God's word and read it, let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank you for this day, Lord. We thank you for an opportunity to come to your house. Father, we thank you for your word. We thank you for the ability to worship you and to read your word. Lord, I pray that you take away all distractions today. Father, I pray that your Holy Spirit will just run its way in this place. And Father, that we will be changed. Father, if someone does not know you as Savior, today I ask that that be the day of their salvation. Lord, for us that maybe not doing what you want us to do, we're waiting to be asked by you that we would just do the right thing. Lord, take away all distractions. Father, help us to think on what you want us to hear this morning from your truth, and let it change our lives. We thank you. We love you. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. In Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2, it says, come and let us return unto the Lord. That's the title of the message. For he hath torn, and he will heal us. He hath smitten, and he will bind us up. After 2 days will he revive us. In the third day he will raise us up, and we shall live in his sight. Hosea was a prophet basically to the northern kingdom in the 700s BC. He's slightly ahead of Isaiah, and he's basically a generation ahead of Jeremiah. The problem with Israel at this time was that they were not following God. You know, you could believe in God and not follow him. You could be God's chosen people and not be doing what God wants you to do. And that was the problem in Israel at this time. They were not following God. So God sent his prophets to try to get them on the right track, to tell them that God wants this and that judgment was coming. And in this case, the Assyrians were coming. In this case, the Babylonians were going to be coming. And they were going to provide, they were going to do God's judgment on Israel. And so these prophets come out and they're talking, and these prophets are asked to do some incredible things. Hosea was asked to do an incredible thing and to marry a prostitute as an illustration. And so we see here that God uses people, and God uses extreme circumstances, and God uses us when we're in trouble. God uses trouble to try to drain us back to us. The Bible is full of invitations. We talked about in Genesis 7:1, come into the ark. That was the only place that you could find safety. Come and be clean. That's the only way you get forgiveness of sin. Come and be satisfied, that you can satisfy your spiritual thirst and your spiritual hunger and have your soul full. Today we're talking about come and return to the Lord. See, Hosea is calling his people to return to the Lord. Sometimes God calls people directly and says, do this for me. In this case, Hosea is being tasked by God to go to the people and tell them this. And so, it's a call for personal and national revival. You know something? We pray for revival in our church. We can't have revival in our church unless we have revival in each of us. We need personal revival. We need God to change us. We need to be light in darkness. We can't have national revival until the church has revival, until God's people starting up and start doing what God wants them to do. We've heard, if you've been watching the news, there's a kind of a revival breakout in Ashbury College in Wilmore, Kentucky. It has started with just a couple people meeting on Wednesday night for prayer. And then more and more people came in, and now all these people are coming in from the outside community to come in and pray and to feel God's presence. It's now been put on the internet, and now other college campuses are doing that. God still can send revival, but it has to start somewhere. Maybe it starts here today. I want that to happen.
Amen.
I want someone here to get fired up about God. And it'll start a change here. And we can have our own revival. And it can spread out from here. Oh, we need that. A call for personal and national revival. We need this call today. Several months ago, we preached about revive us again, O Lord. And we used Psalm 85, verse 6. And in that passage, it says, "Wilt thou not revive us again?" Yes, He will if we come to Him. If we meet God on His own terms. If we basically get rid of the sin in our life and the things that cause us to go astray and follow Him. We're not waiting to be asked. We know what to do. To him that knoweth to do good, doeth not. To him it's what? Sin. Wilt thou not revive us again that thy people may what? Rejoice. And the old folks, let's have revival today. Let's have revival today. The issue is that some don't recognize the need. Some don't recognize the need. You know, everybody wants to focus on the symptoms of the problem and not see the real need. Folks, we have problems with crime and drugs and everything in our country. You know, if we had revival and God's word was out, and our leaders would follow God's word, things would change.
Amen.
If we would just basically think that, hey, maybe I need to change, I guarantee you, if you're thinking that way, you do need. Maybe we just sit down and be still and let God speak to us, that we could see the need today in our lives. There's so many people today that call themselves Christians and do non-Christian things. And they think that it's okay. It's not okay.
Right.
It's not okay. It causes people to stumble and not find God. We're supposed to be a watchman on the wall to talk about that. We need revival today. But the problem is that some of us don't recognize the need for that. Maybe someone here today don't recognize the need for that. In Revelation chapter 2 and 3, there are letters written to seven churches. In the first part of Revelation chapter 3, there was a church at Sardis. And in this passage here, in the beginning of this, it says, and it actually is 3 to 5. No, it's 1 to 3. It says, "And to the angel of the church in Sardis write, these things saith he that hath the seven spirits of God and the seven stars." He says, "I know thy works, though thou hast a name that thou livest and are what? Dead." They didn't know the problem they were in. We don't know the problem that we're in. We could see the country. This morning I was reading an issue about George Soros and saying climate is going to be a horrible thing for us. No, we need a spiritual climate change.
Amen.
That'll cause everything to change.
Right.
That'll cause everything to change. He says, "I know thy works, that thou hast a name, that thou livest and are dead. Be what? Watchful. And strengthen the things which remain that are ready to die." See, the problem of getting into sin is it leads to more sin. And it leads to more sin. And it leads to spiritual ineffectiveness or spiritual death. It says, "Already die, for I have not found thy works perfect before God. Remember, therefore," Hosea is saying this to the nation, "remember, come, and let us return to the Lord. Remember thou, therefore now, how thou hast received and heard, and hold fast and repent. If therefore thou shalt not watch, I will come on thee as a thief, and thou shalt not know what hour I will come upon thee." And you'll be left out. You'll be left out. So in this passage this morning, we see three invitations in Hosea chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. The first one is an invitation to those who have known the closeness of the Lord. In the beginning passage here, it says, "Come and let us return unto the Lord." Return reveals that there had been a better time. Return means that there had been a time of being closer to God, of following God. When we were studying the book of Isaiah, we saw this same verb for come. This issue for come is that come and then go. There is something always attached to the word come. And we see that here. We see come and what? Let us return to the Lord. Not come and go on your own way again, but come back to God. It was a time of close fellowship with God that they had lost. Maybe that's you today. Do you remember a better time? Do you remember a better time when Christ seemed closer than today? We keep on encouraging people, especially on Sunday night, that tomorrow we should be closer to God than we are today. But sometimes we get this backwards and we're going the opposite way. Do you feel that God is closer to you now than He was yesterday? Or a week ago? Maybe a time where the joy of the Lord was more real in your life. Or have we turned into ritualism and religion and not nurturing the relationship that God has given us? Maybe there was a time when prayer was more meaningful. I got a letter this week from a man who I'm discipling by mail. And he's talking about, he says, I do all the studying and everything else, and it just doesn't seem to work. And I keep on doing it. I do more and more and more and more and more. And I said, what you're hearing is I said, take the I out. Don't set your own limits. Let God set the limits. Let God be in control of your relationship with Him. Let Him direct you what to do. Then this week we talked on the phone and he said, you know, it's better now. I understand. It was about me and not about God. You know, sometimes we pray and our prayers seem meaningless because we're asking amiss. We're asking not what God wants, but what we want. Folks, that means that we need a closer relationship with God. Do you remember a time when church services were more exciting? I'm happy for our church services. But you come in and you're bored? I know there's some people sleeping here. Okay? So what does that mean? Okay? What does that mean? You know, church services, we get to come to God's house. Okay? You know, David said, I was glad when they said, let's go to the house of God. Maybe there's a better time when you cared for more for souls. That's what would do on the outside is what's on the inside counts. And this is a heart relationship. This is heart relationship. So it's an invitation to those who have known the closeness of the Lord. Come and let us return. Come and let's do something about this. Do you remember a better day? If you remember a better day, then today is not going the right way. Right. See, the ones in Israel at that time are like ones in the church today. We don't experience that closeness. And folks, I can tell you this. If you don't experience a closeness with God, you won't experience a closeness with others. And you'll start isolating and pulling yourself away. You'll start pulling away. See, these believers had left their first love for the Lord. You go back one chapter in Revelation, go to Revelation chapter 2. The first five verses talks about the church at Ephesus. Ephesus has started out on fire. Paul had gone into the city and turned it upside down. It was the place of Diana worship. They had the temple of Diana there. They were making a whole lot of money about people buying idols there to worship in the temple. And Paul came in there and showed who the true God is. And people got saved. They cast out their idols. And no one was buying these statues anymore of Diana. And it was putting the silversmiths out of business. And it caused a riot in the city. Folks, that's change. That's change for people just doing what God told them to do. And if you remember, there was a big meeting in the amphitheater. And then there was this massive crowd. And they were crying out, "Great is Diana of the Ephesians!" And they didn't even know what they were doing. And so Ephesus started out of persecution and they were doing great things and God was, and people were burning their books and all sorts of stuff. And then when John's on the Isle of Patmos and Christ tells him to write a letter, he starts out, he says, I know your works and that you're doing good stuff. But folks, it's about the gospel, not social programs. It's about having people healed spiritually and not about having only fellowships for you. He says in Revelation chapter 2, verses 4 and 5, he says, nevertheless, I have somewhat against thee, because thou hast left thy first love. You know why you don't have close today as you were yesterday? Because you've left your first love. He says, remember. He told Sardis, remember. He tells Ephesus, remember. I'm telling you to remember. Remember, therefore, from whence thou art fallen, and repent and do the first works, or else I will come unto thee quickly and remove thy candlestick out of his place, except thou repent, and you'll be ineffective from that point on. Folks, this church cannot be ineffective. We need to be effective. We need to come back to the first love. We need to understand it's about souls. It's about Christ. It's about Christ. So it's an invitation to those who have known the closeness of the Lord and they don't feel as close anymore. This message is for you. Today you can reestablish that closeness with God. Secondly, is an invitation to those who have felt the chastening of the Lord. In verse 1 it says, he hath torn. He hath smitten. What is this? This is God's judgment on their actions because they're not doing what God wants them to do. So, here's the point. The point is, God chastens those he loves. Now, I know you probably said this when you go to discipline your kids. This is going to hurt me more than it hurts you. Yeah, right. I never believe that. But the issue is that when things go wrong and we have these tests, and folks, all the tests come in our life are spiritual tests. We have a choice to turn to God or turn away from God. Because God wants to make us into his image. Wants us to be more like him.
Amen.
So he chastens those who he loves. In Hebrews chapter 12, verses 5 and 6, it says, and ye have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as unto children. Paul is saying the same thing centuries later that Hosea said. You know, Habakkuk said, well, I don't know why we have a famine in the land. They come in and said, you haven't built the temple. You didn't do what God told you to come back for. Zechariah says, if that wasn't good enough, then Zechariah kind of says the same thing. See, you say, if there's no blessing in your life, but other things, maybe it's an issue that your relationship with God is not the way it should be. See, and Paul writes to him, he says, and you have forgotten the exhortation which speaketh unto you as children. My son, despise not thou the chastening of the Lord, nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. Boy, anymore you tell somebody the wrong and they just go, I'm going to delete you off Facebook. Give me that phone. Block. I'll never talk to you again. Folks, that's what we do. We do it to God. Delete God out of there. Block him. You don't hear anymore. Don't hear anymore. And that's what was happening here. You don't understand the cankerworm. You don't understand all this other stuff that's happening to you. It's coming from God. It says, for nor faint when thou art rebuked of him. For whom the Lord loveth, he chasteneth, and scourgeth every son whom he receiveth. See, the problem is all these things, and Hosea was there, he's doing these radical things because sin had become a way of life for this people. If you go back a couple of chapters in Hosea chapter 4, verses 1 and 2, it says, hear the word of the Lord, ye children of Israel. For the Lord has a controversy. He has a disagreement with you. And folks, when God has a disagreement with you, it's not his problem, it's ours. Let's just face it. It's our problem. Okay? With the inhabitants of the land. And look at this. Because there is no what?
Truth.
And folks, there's a lot of lack of truth today in our country. There's a lot of lack of truth in our churches today. There's a lot of lack of truth in our lives. We say we are something and we're not. Nor what?
Mercy.
Blessed are merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Well, I just wait to be asked before I help somebody out. That's the last time I'll help that person out. Because they didn't treat me right. Look at what they did to Christ. Look at what they did to Christ. Nor what? Knowledge of God in the land. And boy, do we see that today. The Bible's not relevant. Oh, yes, it is. It says, and then look at verse 2. By swearing and lying and killing and stealing and committing adultery, they break out. It is running rampant. It's not just an isolated case. It is now the norm. It's now the norm. And blood toucheth blood. This is what Hosea was brought into. This is what we're brought into today, folks. Just look outside. Just look at the news. Just look at what's going on in our schools. Oh, sin had become a way of life for this people. And my question this morning, if you don't think that anything's going right in your life, are you toying with temptation? Are you yielding to its call? See, Paul writes in Romans chapter 6, verse 16, says, know ye not? See, we should know this. We should know this. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey? And that servant word is a little bit stronger than that, slave. Okay, bond slave. To obey, his servants ye are to whom ye obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto what? Righteousness. See, there's a very dangerous thing. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. It's a fearful thing to have God's judgment come on you. And God's going to do whatever it takes to get you to do what he wants you to do. Well, that's not fair. He's a God of love. No, he's a God of judgment and justice and holiness. In the last part of Hosea, there's another call to return to the Lord. Here it says, come and let us return to the Lord. In Isaiah 14, verse 2, it says this. It says, take with you words and turn to the Lord. Say unto him, say unto who? The Lord. Take away all iniquity. And receive us graciously, so we will render the calves of our lips. Basically, the sacrifice of our lips. What was going on here? Swearing and lying. That's lips. So take away all this junk and put in stuff that's acceptable to God. Let the words of my mouth and meditation of my heart be acceptable unto thee. God, take away all iniquity and receive us graciously so we will render the calves of our lips. So there's an invitation to come to those who have known the closest Lord and have gone away. Come, let us now return to the Lord. It's an invitation to those who felt the chastening of the Lord. Is come back to him. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from what? All unrighteousness. Thirdly, is an invitation to backsliders to come back to the Lord. Okay? You know, what happens is if you become a habit of talking, doing your own thing and a habit of doing wrong and a habit of ignoring the chastening of the Lord, you get into a backslidden state. you get into a backslidden state. What he says here, he says, come. And then later on, he says, he has torn, but, and he will what? Heal us. He has smitten, and he will what? Bind us up. See, that is great news. Here's the great news today, folks. God loves us in spite of our backslide.
Amen.
He has a covenant relationship with Israel, and he's not going to break that. He has a covenant relationship with us, and he's not going to break that. But he's going to try to present us as a glorious church without spot or wrinkle or blemish or any such thing. That's God's purpose for us. He says, I want to bring you back. Come and he'll heal us. Come and he will bind us up. In Isaiah 1 verses 16 through 18, where we saw come and be clean. Isaiah was sent to a backslidden nation, not backslide. They were backslidden. They were already there and they were going down the steep slope. He says, wash you, make you clean. Put away the evil of your doings from before mine eyes. Cease to do evil. Those are requirements for us. God's done the redemptive work. We just have to cry out to it. Learn to do well. Seek judgment. Relieve the oppressed. Judge the fatherless. Plead for the widow. That's for something for us. God's already given us the power to do that. Come now. And let us reason together. That's to see things God's way, not your way. A lot of people say, well, God loves me, therefore he's going to love me, he takes me as I am. That's true. He meets you where you are. But basically, it doesn't condone sin.
Right.
God hates sin. God even hates those who are proud. They're an abomination to him. And you know something? When we say we could do our own thing and not listen to God, we're proud. Come now and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. So this invitation is to backsliders to come back to the Lord. Maybe this is your first time you've been in church in a long time. That's great. Maybe this is the first time that and say, I need to follow God. That's great. You need to return to the Lord while you still have a chance. While you still have time to respond. In Jeremiah 3 verse 22, it says this, return ye backsliding children, and I will what? Heal your backslide. See, for he hath torn, and he will what? Heal us. He is smitten, and he will bind us up. He says, behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. See, the cure for backsliding is to come to the simple truth. God is God, and he needs to be yours. Because if you're not doing what he says, what he commands, what he wants us to do, if we don't love him with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, we're not following him. We've turned our back on him. I had an opportunity to witness to my pre-calculus class this time on Friday. And they were talking about degrees of sin and what's the greatest commandment. And I went, what? I said, here's what the New Testament says. Here's what Christ said. Somebody came up to him and said, hey, master, what's the greatest commandment in the law? And Christ answered, he said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, soul, mind, and strength. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two hang all the law and the prophets. All the Old Testament talks about loving God with all of your heart. Loving your neighbor as your... You know, you would keep the Ten Commandments if you could do that. You would keep all the Old Testament law if you could do that. Because it's either a sin against God or a sin against a neighbor, which is also a sin against God. I said, the issue is we don't love enough. That's the issue. We don't love enough. If we love God with all of our heart, we would change. We would be where He wants us to be. We would do what He wants us to do. We would say what He wants us to say. We would look more like Him. Oh, folks, return, ye backslide, and I will heal your backslide. Behold, we come unto thee, for thou art the Lord our God. Return to the Lord today. That's the challenge for the Christian today. If you're in right relationship with Christ, great. But I think there's always something in our lives that can get better. There's something we always hang on to that we need to let go of. And we need to return. You know, it's interesting, this second verse here says, after 2 days will He revive us. In the third day, He will raise us up. You know something? It sounds awful lot like the burial and resurrection of Christ, doesn't it? Because we can't do anything without the power of the resurrected Christ. His love was shown on the cross, which put Him in the grave for 3 days. But on the third day, He rose again. And that gives us power to do the things, a power to have a close relationship with Him, a power to understand what the chastening of the Lord is and say, I don't want any more of this, I'll come back to you. A time to say, my state of faith is not the way it should be. Increase my faith and let me come back to you. Christ was torn and smitten for us. In Isaiah 53 verse 5, but He was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon Him, and with His stripes we are what? Healed. Christ was raised to revive us. Come to Him and He'll restore your soul. But if you don't come to Him, you don't get the benefits of what He can do. In Psalm 23:3 says, He restoreth my soul. In Isaiah 58, verse 12, He says, once you're restored, you can restore the land. You can restore the church. You can restore your family. You can restore your relationships. You can restore all these things, but they've got to be on the right foundation. And there's no other foundation laid that is laid than Christ Jesus.
Amen.
Christian, what are you going to do today? We need to return to the Lord. If you don't know Jesus as your Savior, say, I don't know what would happen to me if I died. I got great news. Jesus Christ, the Son of God, lived a perfect life and took your sins on the cross. And He died for your sins on the cross. He was buried for 3 days. And on the third day, He rose again.
Amen.
For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. You need to say, I'm just giving up, and I accept what You did on the cross for me, Jesus. Forgive me my sins, and I accept You as my Savior. If you haven't ever done that before, today is the day to do that. You may not get another chance. Let's do business with God this morning. Let's stand. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just thank You for this day, Lord. We thank You for this time of invitation. Father, I ask that You just search our hearts, Lord, and help us, Lord, to see a need for salvation. Lord, to see a need to repent and come back to You. A need that we need revival, Lord. Send revival today and let it start now. We give You this time. We ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. You have